Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're on the network for the Andrew Shatkin Show this Thursday evening, and it's 6:30, and I welcome you. And tonight I'm going to talk about a topic that will be very very great interest and very gripping. I'm going to talk about our American culture. Now, I love this country. I'm an American, and I understand our culture, but I understand the pluses and minuses. So I'm going to go into this. It's found in Chapter 44 of my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. And I want to tell you that we'll talk a little about myself. This show is a show of honest discernment and facts and truth. We're not interested in media hype. We're not interested in political rhetoric. We're not interested in media lies, media falsehoods, or any kind of political hype. We're interested in facts and truth and in critical thinking. And as I said many times, critical thinking can only be accomplished through the print medium. Looking at a screen will not particularly work your mind effectively, or I don't think you'll really learn a great deal from a passive receptacle of a television screen. But people do it, and that's our modern culture, until the school system reforms and realizes that reading books, reading the great books, is the only way to move society forward intellectually. If you don't want to move it forward, you want to go backward, then you will look at a television the rest of your life, or look at a computer screen and cell phone. You will be thrust backward into darkness. To get out of darkness, you have to start reading books, and reading great books such as Moby Dick, such as Paradise Lost by John Milton, such as Henry James' American great novels, The Ambassadors and The Golden Bowl are two examples, and Thomas Mann would be another example of great writers. T.S. Eliot is another one. Anyway, the second factor that grips me and moves me is that I am a believing Christian. I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Every word, every phrase, every thought, it is Christ speaking to me from the mansions and precincts of heaven in the entire biblical narrative and books. I also have a commitment to the ancient creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, and if I have a chance, I would recommend reading the great Christian books such as Paradise Lost by John Milton, one of my all-time favorites, one of the greats, written while he was blind, along with Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonistes, and also John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Augustine's Confessions, and many others, the great Christian books that would include T.S. Eliot and G.K. Chesterton, as other great Christian writers. I also would like to you to understand that I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. Both are visited by many people from many countries, and my podcast show has been visited by over 4,100 people from 76 countries, including China and Muslim countries, despite the show's Christian orientation. That's also true of my blog talk radio show. This one has a Christian orientation, but it's been visited by many people from many countries, including Saudi Arabia, Iran, and others, such as Malaysia and Japan and Finland and United Kingdom and Germany and Belgium and Netherlands and Ireland and many others. I'm very pleased that these shows are visited by many of our Muslim brothers and sisters and by the theoretically atheists and agnostics from China. That may not be. There's a large Christian population in China, but these sites are visited regularly. And I've written over 500 blogs, essays, which have a Christian orientation, and can be found on my website, shatkinshow.com, and on academia.edu. And these are also have a Christian orientation, but are visited by many from Muslim countries. I have had many, many guests and contacts with these wonderful Muslim brothers, brothers, and sisters. I have a philosophical student in Iran I've been in contact with. She's tremendous philosophy background, more than any American I can imagine, a fantastic philosophy background, if you're interested in philosophy. If you're not, then the background means nothing to you. However, I think it's valuable. And the more you know, the more you'll be able to do in life. The less you know, the less you will be able to do beyond eating and sleeping. If that's your goal, that's fine. Eating, sleeping, and entertainment is not mine. And then I have had a Muslim scientist from Istanbul on the show, a Muslim novelist, and I have recently distributed some of my articles through academia, an article on St. Paul, an article on politics and truth, and another article, which I don't recall the name of. And these articles have had great reception by our Muslim brothers and sisters who have read them with great interest and attention and have contacted me about them. So I'm always happy when a person, I welcome all on my show. The shows are Christian, but I welcome all opinions and views. And I have to say I'm very happy that I've been nominated to speak before 80 countries on the area of law. And also, I have written two major journal articles on the area of criminal procedure and sex discrimination in an Academicus and Obedian scientific journal. Both of these have been bought. The criminal procedure article has been bought by the U.S. Supreme Court and the State Department, and the Academicus article has also been bought by the State Department, and many have been bought by huge numbers of European and American university libraries. Recently I've been contacted to submit an article to a South Asian technical journal, which I am exploring, preparing an article for that effect. I'm extremely happy that I'm being contacted, and that people read my work, which indicates to me that the work has value. In American society, print has lost its grip, but it still is the vehicle of thought in universities. Still. Maybe less so, but still. And the day, as I said, I predict the day we stop reading and the day print becomes a non-medium of intellectual communication is the day of destruction, intellectual destruction and death of our system. However, I want to talk about chapter 44 of my book, A Word in American Culture. Let me just give you a sort of an overview of this. It's some aspects of American culture. It is really the name of this. Let me say this. American culture has very positive attributes attached to it. For one example is that where there are different racial groups or religions that come into this country, such as Islam or Hinduism, they are accepted. We have freedom of religion and freedom of thought, and we accept most people. So American society, however, until recently, was regarded as a Christian society, and in some ways, tell you the truth, it is, in some respects. For example, we in America value social equality, or better put, in American society, there is some form of social equality, or you might say that American society operates without overt class distinctions. That is to say, we have, because of our political equality of one man, one vote, it's extended to almost without a society without overt class distinctions. So we would treat the affluent or poor person with the same respect as any other person. This social equality may be a facade. I guess it is, because we still have the wealthy kind of on top. But it is certainly better than a class-ridden culture, and it's closer to the Christian ideal. So I have to say that American society has not so many overt class distinctions, and And we treat people, poor or rich, as the same because of our system of political equality, where everybody's got a vote, rich and poor. And this social equality may be a facade, but it's better than a class-ridden society, and it's closer to the Christian religion and gospel. In that sense, America is sort of close to a Christian ideal. A second aspect of this class, non-class system, overt class system, is that American culture exhibits a certain geniality, acceptance of all sorts of people, races, cultures, and religion. And this geniality and acceptance of non-criticism of others, of other kinds of people, races, cultures, and religions, whatever they may be, is kind of a Christian form of behavior rather than excluding people from the social or political system. We include most people who come here, whether their race, their culture, or religion. It's kind of a non-criticism, acceptance of most other groups. So this kind of acceptance of most others as they may present themselves stems from the obvious political equality based on one man, one vote. That is to say, the vote of a rich man is the same as a poor man forming the government. So you might say this is a kind of a Christian perspective. We accept most people of races, cultures, and religion, and don't criticize them for who they are. We accept them in our social system. And it's a lack of an overt class structure, and stems from political equality based on one man, one vote, and that's good. And it certainly is a Christian perspective, I think. Now, traits in American culture that are counter, I think, to the Christian idea and contrary to the gospel. American culture is largely based on business and commerce, on money. The entire society, our society, for good or bad, is geared to the acquisition and gaining of material wealth and business activity. That is what America is all about. It is what we value. It is what we compete for. It is what we want, and it is what runs our country, business and commerce. However, it's obvious that this emphasis on money is not a Christian idea. It is somewhat, possibly, hidden in the Christian thought system in today's world. It's not a Christian perspective, materialism. But I think Christianity, if we look at the Gospels and the words of Christ, seems to emphasize poverty rather than the acquisition of material wealth. Jesus seems to, he himself embraced poverty. He lived the life of a person without a lot of money, no job, no goods, not married. And I think that Christianity lays preference on this rather than the acquisition of material wealth. That is not a Christian idea, wealth. Jesus states in the Gospel, the poor in spirit are humble or blessed. He says the poor are blessed. Being poor, actually, he says, is blessed, meaning they will be rewarded. That's what he means. It doesn't mean that it's good to be poor. Jesus wants to eliminate economic inequities 100%. Doesn't want people poor. But he believes that the poor will be rewarded in the next life. He also says the meek will inherit the earth. He says it's extremely difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So these statements sort of are counter to the American culture based on wealth and materialism. And these ideas are, in fact, quite contrary on wealth and materialism to the Christian belief system. Again, Jesus says the poor will be blessed. It's extremely difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So the emphasis on American culture, on wealth and materialism, is somewhat contrary to Christian belief system. And perhaps, I'll go into this another time, socialism might be closer to the Christian idea than capitalism. It's possible. It hasn't been shown to work very well on a practical basis, but as an idea, it's closer to the Christian idea of a society. Let's take a look at some more Jesus' statements about wealth. When a rich man came to Jesus in the gospel and asked what he had to do to be perfect, he was told to give up all his goods. Again, this is an emphasis on poverty. This rich man was told, and it's not that being rich is bad, it's just that was an impediment to being a perfect person. Could be anything. It could be intellect, could be smartness, could be clothes, could be looks. In his case, it was materialism. And this emphasis on poverty in the Christian belief system is best understood if we look at the Roman Catholic Church, the monastic orders taking the vow of poverty. This is true of the religious orders of men and women who also take a vow of poverty. And so that stems from the example of Christ as embracing poverty in the disciples. So, Christ didn't seem to endure, he doesn't endorse deprivation. It doesn't involve human suffering. But he seems to say that materialism as a idea he rejects. In that sense, embraces poverty. And we see the example of the monastic orders in the Roman Catholic Church, which involve taking on the vow of poverty, and also of religious orders. So that's one thing that isn't particularly allied with Christianity, this emphasis on wealth and money, and rather to the contrary, Christianity seems to be connected with poverty and poor people. In fact, many of Jesus' followers were poor, were sinners, as were the disciples, the tax collector, Matthew, and so we have to look at Jesus' life and his association with people in the lower end of society, and we have to understand that he seems to embrace the poverty, people in poverty or who have suffered in their lives. The next aspect of American culture that's non-Christian is celebrities and advertising. Christian belief emphasizes humility, not self-importance. Thus, advertising and raising up people as celebrities is opposed to the Christian belief in humility. So we have a big deal in the United States about advertising, like in People magazine and celebrities, and Christians emphasize humility, not self-importance. And so advertising and raising people up as celebrities is quite contrary and opposed to the Christian belief in humility. These aspects of American culture based on business and commerce and advertising and celebrities have their origin in the capitalist commercial system with its emphasis on money and business. Better put, people in the United States are measured by their success in the market, in commerce. So American culture fails as a Christian idea because of its emphasis on business and money and wealth, and on celebrities and advertising. Because the root of the problem is that the world and Christianity measure people and things differently. I'm making this point only to identify what are Christian values present in American society, such as the lack of class demarcations and acceptance of both religions and people, and one man, one vote, and political equality. These are positive Christian attributes, but we have the non-Christian attributes as not particularly helpful about how people should live and function, which is based on money and advertising and celebrities. Well, let's conclude, there never will be a Christian society. As I say, socialism might be closer. It could be. It doesn't work very well on a practical basis, but as an idea, it's closer to the Christian concept of thought in society. There never will be a Christian society, because not because people are not Christians, but because people are inherently imperfect and dislocated as a result of sin. They're confused. They don't know what's wrong. This imperfection will never be eradicated. And so the only solution to improving society must be on an individual basis through the church and a relationship with Christ. No, the system cannot be en masse changed. It is only individuals in their imperfection and sin, for whatever word, that can be changed through transformation with Christ and his church. I'm just addressing these particular issues here to point at the inherent philosophical failings in American culture, and that the emphasis on money and celebrities and advertising perhaps should be redirected, altered, changed, or reformed. I hope that you found what I said interesting tonight. And you can find this chapter in my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. And you may be able to see the this chapter, which I've just kind of reviewed and given you an indication of the thinking in it, on pages 150 and 151 of the book. I hope you will find it, what I've said, interesting tonight. Hope you take a look at the chapter in the book. And I think I've identified the positive attributes of America as a Christian nation, or as a faith-driven nation of moral, where morality operates significantly, and also as a nation which has certain failings of a moral and philosophical character, which is this huge emphasis on money and commerce and on celebrities. People should be not respected for being a celebrity, but for their character and honesty and commitment to truth and honesty and good works. That is what people are to be valued for, not for their wealth or money. Well, that's the American system. It's good and bad. I've identified the good and bad, and I hope you've enjoyed this show. Bye.